Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Tropfen regn auf mein Kopf. Hink wie ein Deckel, muss es die kleine Fahrt im Kopf. Geht mir kein Sach mit.
Welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I am your host, Judy Gold, and we have a very special episode this week. I was in Los Angeles in May to be a part of the Netflix is a Joke Festival, and it was a cavalcade of comedians. That's where I shot my standout special with all the other great LGBTQ plus comedians, and I had the opportunity to sit at the pool at the W Hotel and interview a couple of comics who I just adore, Chris Mancini and James Mattern. And I hadn't seen Chris in a while because he's one of these comics that we went on the road together. And that's a bond you'll always have, even if you don't see the person for 10 years. And James Mattern is one of my favorite comedians in New York City. He's one of the best hosts, MCs there is, which is, as I've mentioned multiple times, the hardest job and the most important job on a show. So I got to speak with Chris, and then James came by, and we had a delightful conversation. So I hope you enjoy. By the way, if you're near Cape Cod, I begin my shows this weekend, the 24th and 25th at the Art House, and then again the following weekend. And I'd love to see you there, but just sit back, relax. I don't know why I say that, sit back, relax. Like anyone is sitting back and relaxing while they listen to my voice. You know what I mean? The most non-relaxing voice in the entire world. Anyway, do what you're doing, and I hope you enjoy. Okay, this is an extra special episode of Kill Me Now because, first of all, I don't have my bell, but I'm going to do my bell. I have a Bell app. Now, Chris, I don't know if you've ever listened to my podcast. I doubt it because no one ever fucking listens to anyone else's podcast. We're up at the pool. at the W Hotel.
It's pretty nice.
It is. Chris, you live here.
Yes, I do. I live in the hotel. I'm like the Phantom of the Opera. I just kind of haunt it.
That is so, that is fantastic.
They saved me a seat by the pool.
And we're both hot. You know, it's amazing. There's my bell.
Yeah.
It's amazing because Chris and I have known each other. When did we meet?
It had to be over 20 years ago, at least.
Yes. Comedian, writer, producer, podcaster, author, director, father, man.
Yeah.
Man, woman, television.
Yeah.
What was the thing? Chris Mancini is here, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Mancini. We're on the deck of the pool at the W Hotel in Hollywood. And, you know, it's the Netflix is a joke festival right now.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't, I mean, it already started. Apparently, all the cool people haven't arrived because I'm here today.
You know
what I mean? And I'm not one of the cool people. I used to be one of the cool people in the '90s.
We just walked by the pool. It's all cool people.
Okay, so Chris and I just walked by the pool, and here's the deal: I'm 59, Chris. You're supposed to say you look great, asshole.
Yeah, you look great, asshole.
It's not fucking funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So we come up here, and it's like I used to live here in the '90s. You know, I used to be one of these people who would sit by the pool. So we walk in and everyone has a good body. Everyone's in show business. And then I see this really hot woman in the pool.
I know. It's like walking into Westworld.
Yeah.
It is. It's pretty much.
And there's a woman in the pool, hot, and she's talking to a gray-haired man, fat. So I'm going to go with wealthy on the gray-haired fat man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I could never. Could you ever be with someone for the money?
No. Unless it was a lot.
Like, how much is a lot?
I don't know. I haven't figured out the number. But you know what? Nah, probably not. Because you know what the thing about money is? You spend it, you get everything you want, then you're bored for the next 40 years.
No.
No.
That's not true. Okay. This is how much money I want to have, Chris. I want to have enough money where I never have to think about money. Like, if I want something, I buy it.
Sure.
If, you know, I don't need to be a billionaire. I don't need that. I just don't ever want to have to think about it or worry about it.
Yes. You want that kind of detachment and freedom of, like,
right,
I'm going to buy whatever I want. Whether it's a yacht or an extra coffee, it
right,
doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what it is. That was my mother. Now, Chris, you have had a very boring life. I mean, you grew up in Havertown, Pennsylvania. Then you moved to Westchester in fourth grade. Fourth grade moving in fourth. Don't look at my notes.
Okay.
Fourth grade moving in fourth grade, Chris, is not good.
No, it's not great. But it's not horrible.
It's 9 years old, right?
About that, yeah.
So you have no friends from prior to fourth grade, do you, that you still keep in touch with?
On Facebook, yeah. I think I have one.
From what grade? First, second, third?
Yes, all the way through, first, second, and third, because that was the Havertown.
And what does that person do?
No idea.
Right. Not friends. Okay. You went to Temple University.
Yes.
Were you there with Bill Cosby?
I was not. No.
Because he's so much younger. God, I'm so not funny in L.A. I'm so much funnier in New York. So you went to Temple.
Yes.
And you studied communications, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go with huge nerd in high school.
No.
Really?
Oh, wait. No, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
So what?
We're talking Dungeons and Dragons nerd.
Right. So you were the nerd that... Now, did you get teased? Did you get bullied?
No, that's the interesting thing. I was pretty good at talking. So the bully actually played D&D with us.
So
we became friends.
So... Yeah. Okay, I'm very fascinated by this because as someone who was called Bigfoot and Sasquatch every day of my life, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Orca, every day of my fucking life. I mean, look at me. I'm so hot. I'm fascinated with bullying because the bullies never remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, I did. And it's like, and you remember every fucking thing. So how did
every
you
second.
Deal with, how did you approach the bully?
It was a, I was a little lucky in the high school. It wasn't really as cliquey as a lot of other high schools were, but it was the kind of thing where, like, you would go to parties. Those people would go to certain parties. Other people would go to certain parties. And then it was like a gradual process where we just started kind of talking and hanging out. And then it got to the point where, hey, you want to play Dungeons and Dragons? Came over, played, and then made sure, look, don't tell anybody I'm doing this.
Oh, right. Yeah. Don't tell anyone I'm hanging out with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, fuck you.
Yeah, but that's progress.
Right. And you took it and you were like, were you excited? There's the hot woman.
Yeah.
See how hot she is? Look at that woman. Everyone turn around. Look at that ass. That hair. She's like perfect.
Yeah.
She is with a 90-year-old fat fucking disgusting. Okay.
Yeah.
So. Okay. So do you feel like you had just a normal suburban childhood, and did you have siblings?
Yes, and I had one brother. I still had. I have one brother.
Older or younger? I'm going to sneeze.
Younger. 6 years younger. Bless you.
So, oh, shit.
And you look great, by the way, for your age. Is it too late? Can I not do it now?
Well, I feel like you doing it now is, it's like took you that long to think, oh my God, she's going to be dead soon. Yeah. Wait, there's the guy. There's the guy with the woman. Like, she's attracted to him.
Isn't that the guy from those liquor commercials? The most interesting man in the world?
I don't know. So the listeners feel like they're in LA with us.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so you have a younger brother who's 6 years younger. Was he cool?
He was. But, you know, when you have that much of an age difference, you don't really hang out as much.
Right. So he didn't have to clean up your shit. Like,
no.
Oh, that's Chris's brother. Chris is such a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, he didn't.
So was he like more in the not Dungeon and Dragons, but more, you know, football or music or
whatever? he was definitely into other things. Yeah. He didn't get the D&D bug that I.
So do you get along with him?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you're Italian?
Yes.
Both parents Italian?
Both parents Italian.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Food growing up.
The royal flush.
Yeah.
The food was, as expected, very basic East Coast Italian food. Spaghetti.
Really?
Meatballs.
Sauce. Now,
sauce, yeah.
I grew up in an Italian Jewish neighborhood. Mm-hmm. The sauce is very important.
Oh, it's the heart. Not of the meal, of the family.
Right.
Yeah.
So everyone has their own sauce. And one time, I had this friend in high school. And one time, you know, he came out to me as gay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was the hardest thing he ever had to do. And the second hardest thing was he made me swear on my life. He couldn't believe he was telling me. It was such a secret. That his mother, for her sauce, as the base, used ragu. And it was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm telling you. Like, it was like the same as coming out.
Oh, you would get the Italian version of shunning for that.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. Now, did your mother use a prego or a ragu, or did she get the tomatoes?
She actually didn't make the sauce that much. My mom didn't really cook that much. However, my grandmother... Unbelievable.
Oh, really?
Unbelievable. It was like everything from scratch. We had the...
Whose mother is that? Your father?
That's my father's mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chicken parmesan, but also veal cutlets. But
super,
super old school, where she would actually soak them in milk overnight to get them like extra tender. Pizzelles, reds.
Okay, that is so not kosher.
Yeah.
But wait, let me just press my bell. I ring a bell every time I say something Jewy, but thing keeps... There we go. Your grandmother must have hated your mother for not cooking. Is
that
true?
She found it a little odd. Like
she probably yelled at your father, what are you marrying her for? She doesn't cook. So, you're never going to eat.
Yeah, so when my grandmother would come and visit, she would literally cook for like almost the entire time.
And did your mother hate it or liked it?
Well, it was less my mom had to do, so I think she might have complained, but I think she secretly liked it.
That's fascinating. I mean, yeah, my mother and grandmother cooked together a lot. Okay, so you grew up, nothing major happened to you as a child that was traumatic. I mean, I did some research on you.
Yeah.
Very normal.
Well, I was in an airplane crash, but other than that, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah. You moved to LA in your mid-20s.
Yes, I lived in Philly.
you went, yeah, you lived in Philly. That's where you went to college with Bill Cosby.
Yes.
What do you think of the fact that they have disavowed the serial rapist predator?
I'm for it. Yeah,
I think it too.
Yes.
And, but wasn't he like the graduate of Temple?
Here's the thing, like for the PR, for the PR, it was always like, Bill Cosby, Temple and stuff. But if, when you went to Temple, it was not a big deal. It was an honorary degree. Nobody cared. So it was more for like, you know, the PR of outside of Temple that it meant anything.
And plus he gave them a lot of money.
So, yeah. And
but not as much as the women that he raped while they were unconscious. He gave them more money. You are pretty much a professional nerd.
Yes.
And comedians, although people think we're cool, we are all fucking nerds. But you've taken the nerddom to a whole other level. Now,
I've certainly tried.
Things that fascinate me about you. One thing, you directed and produced soap operas. Is that correct?
I wrote them.
So you wrote them, mm-hmm. and this is an interview that I read, and they said you directed and produced it.
Yeah.
which soap operas did you read, and what the, I mean, did you write, and what the fuck?
I wrote on Port Charles, which was a spinoff of General Hospital.
Oh, my God. I loved General Hospital so much when I was mm-hmm. in high school. High school and then college, because Luke and Laura got married my freshman year of college.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the big, I can't fucking believe I watched this stupid fucking soap opera. But I actually appeared on a couple of soap operas.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think they made so much money because, you know, the actors would make like $3,000 a day or something like that.
Right.
And I was like, oh, my God. I'm still kind of like, oh, my God, that's fine with me. But mm-hmm. How the fuck do you write a soap opera? And they have to learn those fucking lines.
Oh, yeah.
Overnight.
Yeah. It's literally, it's an assembly line.
Right.
Really, because you have a show that you're producing literally every single day. So they have a large team of writers. And right. I cut the chop.
Like, how many writers are in a... And is there a writer's room?
There is, but there's like multiple writer's room because you have what are called breakdown writers and they actually kind of break down the story. And then you have what I was a dialogue writer. I would get the breakdown.
Oh my God, you wrote the dialogue?
I just wrote
dialogue.
So
there was the breakdown, like, yeah. Which is when you write for TV, you always mm-hmm. write an outline
right.
for every episode. That's the hardest thing to do
mm-hmm.
is to, you know, write the outline, what is going to happen
right.
with specifics mm-hmm. in an episode. Then you write the dialogue.
Yeah.
And then there's the rewriting, or was it?
Yeah, then there's rewriting, but sometimes it's such an assembly line where the head writers, whatever, you don't even rewrite. They do the rewrites for you. And I got the job, speaking of being a nerd, is I was temping at the ABC lot. I was doing tech support. And I
oh
was
my
in the,
God, you're the fucking IT guy?
I was.
What the fuck?
Many years ago, and I was in the head writer's God. Office.
Wait a minute. You worked at ABC as the tech person. Like, whose computer did you fix?
Yeah. Well, that's
like any famous people computers or
no, it was all like, you know, the producers and behind the scenes because the famous people aren't going to have the computer sitting there. But I was fixing the head writer's computer and I said, "Are you looking for writers?" She goes, "I'm always looking for writers. Send me a script." So I sent them a Grace Under Fire spec. Remember that show?
Yes, and I was a lot of people are going to be surprised here. I was the maid of honor at Brett's wedding.
There, yeah.
She asked me on the way there. But yes, I was the maid of honor at Brett Butler's wedding. Okay. Mm-hmm. So did you write on Grace Under Fire? You had just written a spec.
It was just
script.
A spec. And she loved it. And then they hired me, but they put me on what's called a writing trial. So you're,
how many weeks is that?
It was about, I think, 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then, but I was also still temping and doing the computer support until an executive at ABC realized it and said, "Why are we paying him twice?" Because I would be in my office, the IT office, writing the scripts for Port Charles. So they had me leave the computer job.
You got rid of the IT job?
Yes. And I was writing. And then the trial was over and then they hired me full time.
Wait, did you write any IT dialogue? Like,
I didn't,
in the,
no.
Like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. I want to fuck you, but my computer's broken.
Yeah.
You know, nothing. Okay.
And it was the best hiring and firing of any job I've gotten in Hollywood.
Was this your first job when you got here? Like, how old were you when you were doing this?
I was probably mid to late 20s. It wasn't my first job, but it was my first union writing job.
Okay. Yeah. And you're right. Like, how do you write fucking dialogue? Like, what were your women? You're writing like yes. middle-aged women. Like,
yep. mm-hmm. they gave me what? Well, they give you about like 50 scripts to read. So eventually
you kind of
get the idea of like what they're looking for.
Right.
And, but this is what helped me and then what got me in trouble. The head writer said that, look, when you write a script, I want it to be you. I want you to put your voice in it. So when I read your script, I don't even need to look at the name on the script. I'll know it's yours. So I said, okay. So I kind of made it a little funnier, made a little bit more fun dialogue. And, you know, that went on for months. And then the head writer gets fired.
Who was the head writer?
Lynn Latham. Mm-hmm. She got fired.
And, Lynn Latham.
Yeah. And then the EP brings me in and says, look, we're not renewing your contract because your writing has a distinct voice. We don't want to hear it. We want all the writing to sound the same. So I got hired and fired for the same reason.
Wait. Okay. Let's review. You get hired by Lynn.
Yes.
Does she have a crush on you?
So I don't think so.
Okay. Lynn hires you.
Mm-hmm.
You do the trial thing.
Yeah.
And you have a unique voice.
Yes.
And then Lynn gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring you in and say, we're firing you.
Yeah, they clean house of all the writers she hired. Uh-huh. That's the first time that's ever happened in Hollywood.
I've never heard of that before. Also, I'm looking at a topless woman now.
Now we all turned around.
Yeah, so she's putting on her... That's not a topless woman. Oh, it is? Oh, it's a trans person. Mm. Hi!
Yeah.
Oh, God. Everyone, cancel me. I only saw the ass, okay? And I thought it was a woman. And by the way, I get misgendered all the fucking time. I got here. I was at Flagship American Airlines. I walk up to the gate, and the woman at the gate says, thank you for flying with us, Mr. Gold. And usually I will misgender them back and say, mm-hmm. oh, you're welcome, sir. But I said, Mr. Gold? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Like, they don't even look at you. They just see a large person. Hey, everyone. I have a new sponsor, and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co, and it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today
with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
This Latham woman gave you your first writing job.
Yes.
And you got fired for having a unique voice. But what did you, can you just tell me like some of the dialogue you wrote? And what was your, why was your voice unique? Were you?
I didn't think it was that like crazy. I mean, again, it's a soap opera.
Right.
I'm not, you know, writing crazy
right.
dialogue. But
right.
I think because I put a few more jokes in and I put like a couple things that were like here's the other thing too, is the plot, as you know, for a soap opera, are literally like a puzzle you have to figure out.
Right.
It's like there's a serial killer in Port Charles. And,
right.
You know, they escape. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe they don't want to build any more sets because where does the serial killer that escapes in Port Charles go? Back to Port Charles.
Right.
So we can kind of continue that.
Do you know what's, I mean, you know the arcs of the storylines, or do you?
Yes. They give that stuff in
They
the
say, we're going to get the killer,
right,
the murderer,
right.
and it's going to be blank, and you know that like 2 years in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
And was it fun, or was it just so much work?
It was both. It was a lot of work, but it was super fun because then the other thing they decided too is that this was way before COVID. Well, the dialogue writers, you guys don't really need to be at the meetings. Why don't you just work from home and email your scripts?
Oh my God, that's great.
Yeah.
That's like pre-pandemic.
Yeah. And I did it on the road too. Like you and I might have been doing a show when I would go into the hotel room and then just write a Port Charles script.
And I'd be like, Chris, let's go get something to eat.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, I can't, I'm writing a fucking soap opera.
Yeah.
You wrote a book.
Yes.
Long ago and far away. Mm-hmm. You've written many books.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you did a documentary called Earbuds about podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Your goal, you as a kid. Hi, James. Do you know Chris? Chris, James?
Yeah, we haven't seen each other in a while, but yeah.
That's my boy right there. Do you want to get on?
I didn't know what was going
on. I don't know. I usually interview one person at a time, but I'm doing a whole, like, I'm being different. James Mattern is here. He's just walked in. James, I love James Mattern, an excellent comedian, new album coming out called Check Spot.
Well, the album's out, the special's coming out June 3rd, baby.
Oh, it's a special, but 3rd. It was an album.
It was an album, we slow rolled it, and eventually it'll be a letter and a book and whatever, man.
You gotta repurpose.
Yeah, I'm getting so much mileage out of one weekend's work. Yeah. It's
you
the
know
best.
What's amazing?
That's
is
America.
That I am, for this festival, doing jokes I did in the 80s.
Oh, word?
Because I think they'll be really relevant right now.
With everything going on, yeah.
And retro's hot right now.
Right. Retro's really hot. I'm going to wear an outfit from the 80s.
Let's talk what about Ms. Pac-Man.
I don't know. Shoulder pads.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's bring that back.
I'm going to cut my hair really short.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to do jokes about, you know, what did I talk about when I was...
Bring the curl back.
Yeah, right? I can bring... It's Judy's show! Okay. So Chris wrote this book.
Okay.
I don't know if you're into comics. He's into graphic novels.
Absolutely, and one of the worst days of my life is when Comixology changed their format 2 months ago, and I had to stop reading comic books in the morning, as a 44-year-old man. Yeah, I love comic books, so yes.
Now,
oh, awesome.
You wrote this book. There's many themes: lost, in hopelessness. There's all this negative, but then about someone losing the enthusiasm to live, and they get this job at a comic book store. Is that?
Yeah,
yes, and it mm-hmm. and revisits. This is a theme I think all comics have. They revisit their childhood love or the thing that made them happy in their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that great comics are children. In deep, like I think Gilbert was such a fucking child. I believe that those, you know, the hopelessness and the lost enthusiasm, and then living in a fantasy world or just laughing. And, you know, it's such a coping mechanism. So the both of you are very into comic strips, which I used to read when I was a kid, but I find them, it's an interesting genre because it is like this culty little side, right?
And it could be whatever you want. Like, it's a medium. Like, you could have, like, one of the things I was doing with Long Ago and Far Away is, well, comics could be, I thought, a lot funnier to make
right.
a long story and about a guy who went into a fantasy world as a kid, like Narnia books, and saved the world from the witch
right.
queen. But then, now what happens when he's 30 and he's an asshole and he runs a comic book store
right.
and he has to go back in that world again as an adult? But he figured out that, like, oh, wait. What have I lost? What am I trying to regain? And it's
right.
that childlike wonder that, you know, as we get older, that we kind of lose sight of. So, and it's funny you mentioned Comixology because we tried to get it on there, but it's gone. So,
what is Comixology?
So it was a gift from the heavens in the middle of the pandemic. Is
yes.
I wanted to order a graphic novel because I was stuck in my buddy's yeah. house in Vegas, just losing my banana. And I'm like, oh, I'll get this comic. And then they give you an option on Amazon. You can spend like $8 and get it digitally. Then you could do like a monthly thing and get a bunch of free ones.
Right.
So that's how I started my day. And then one day they changed. They're like, hey, we just changed. This is better. You can't read anything. It's horrible. And if you just Google Comixology change, you'll see more hatred than people have towards Russia invading Ukraine,
yeah, yeah.
towards DeSantis, yeah. towards the Supreme Court now. It was some of the most unbelievable vile I've ever seen. It was like, how dare you? Now I can't finish Fables. You're a
right.
motherfucker.
Right.
Was,
yeah.
And I was one of them. And I might run an extra one after this.
Because I was trying to, like, you know, as we were getting the comic up there, I'm like, okay, well, wait, now it has to be under Kindle. So now it's, so Long Ago and Far Away is up, but it's under Kindle now instead of Comixology. You know, the Comixology, the platform that all the comics readers wanted to use? Yeah, that's...
Yeah,
so wait, is it still functioning or...
Barely.
It's rolled under to Kindle and Amazon now, because Amazon bought Comixology years ago. And,
that's shocking. They bought a lot of stuff,
and
huh?
could, yeah, wow. is that weird?
That's so weird.
Yeah.
And they
Wacky.
Couldn't figure out what to do with it.
Right.
So they're like, well, first we'll make sure it's not functional. That's the first thing they did, and then they ruined it.
You can't close up like pictures or the bubbles. So if you got
44
year old eyes, you're like, what did that raccoon just say?
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right. What do you think the similarities to comic strips mm-hmm. and stand up? I think it is that a strip is like a bit, don't you think? Like if you write
They
no?
are yeah.
Well the strips were a joke. Was because a lot of them were three panels, right?
Right.
On the
and
weekdays.
That's a bit. That's a joke. Or is it one joke or is it
Yes, it was set up.
You're talking about like Sunday comics where it's like a couple.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so that's that. And then you have, this is what I find fascinating. Mm-hmm. Satire in comic strips, you know, like the Charlie Hebdo, which, you know, I feel like that visual element of a comic strip and the fact that it's easier, like I think with animation too, like it's easier to talk about a subversive topic if the person's animated or
smoother.
Right. Or
Absolutely.
In a comic strip, but it's like, it's visual and audio, even though it's not, I don't know. It's just like, I feel like it is a genre of comedy. They're not all comic because there's graphic novels that are serious,
right.
like Mouse but it's a skill I don't have. Like you have to, you have to think a certain way.
It's a visual, more of a visual medium, and like because I've done some directing. Like I saw the panels in comic strips as like almost like storyboards, and to put them together. But the one thing that's hard is comedy to do
right.
in those panels. It's actually easier to do action and drama and all those things.
But do you think it's easier to write a joke and tell it on stage than to put it in those panels?
For you know what. No, I don't actually.
Oh, really?
I
so think it's more difficult.
Yeah. I think, and one of the things I tried to do is when I was translating and learning how to do comics as I was writing is putting in things like the stuff that we use in stand-up, like pregnant pauses
right.
and the pacing. And to do that,
right.
you have to play around with the panels that have like maybe a deadpan panel or, you know, break up the dialogue.
Right, because it's all about the timing.
Yeah, to get that timing that you get on stage that, you know, you,
have
you don't
have
to
do that
panel.
Visually.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's and how did your book do? Is it doing great?
Yeah, it's doing well. We actually just re-released it.
That's so, like yeah. a James Mattern.
Let's just
marketing.
Keep it rolling.
Yeah.
Just repackage it.
Exactly. Keep going. Yeah. And then, and it's, people can get it on the website or on all digital, like, Drive Through Comics, I almost said Comixology, Kindle.
Yeah. Like, we're going to fix it. We're going to make some deals in the next few days. I'm going to get some real grip of money and I'm buying that son of a bitch and changing it.
That would be great if someone could do it.
I want purpose in my life. Comedy in itself, I need more.
But I'll tell you guys, like, I'll send you copies.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Now, you started doing stand-up in your late teens.
Yes.
At Temple?
When I was going to college, I was going to film school, and I was doing stand-up there and in local clubs, yeah. But I started probably a couple years before. I did, like, a comedy contest at, you know, at a community college.
Right.
And then I won. You know, there was three people that
right.
did, but and then I started kind of branching out from there. Like, I would do stand up as I would go to school.
You, James.
Yes, Judy.
You've been doing stand up for 21 years, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy. And you're 44.
44.
So you started when you were 23. And unlike Chris Mancini, you did not have an idyllic childhood in Pennsylvania.
Well, no. I grew up in Vegas.
I know. I'm saying, he doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Oh my God.
I'm on no sleep, Judy.
What the fuck?
I almost missed my flight, too. So this is
why? Why did you almost miss your flight?
Because I overslept there. I got 3 hours of sleep when I'm supposed to get two. It's another story.
Wait. What time was your flight this morning?
8:29.
From JFK?
Yeah, my alarm went off at 5:49, but for some reason was silenced. And at 6:25, I woke up. And I don't know if you ever saw that episode of Larry Sanders where Hank misses his own restaurant opening. That's what it felt like. It's like, turn it back. Like, well, I was like, I have had that happen
where I've looked at the clock and been like, no, fuck.
No.
Have you ever had that?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, did you take an extra hour to type stuff in about Comixology on Reddit? Is that kind of what
that's
happened?
That's what kept me up. Yeah. That's what caused the problem.
Wait, did you work last night?
I did work.
Yeah, because you're a mental case like me. Yeah. Okay.
I can't take a night off.
I know.
Yeah,
you'll learn crazy. How to do that when you get to be my age. And then you, what airline did you fly?
JetBlue.
From JFK?
Yes, which was very, even better than it was 3 weeks ago when I flew on it. It was just portals and good movies. I watched Good Will Hunting and cried like a child.
You did?
Just.
You don't sleep on the plane?
I slept a little bit, and then
were you in first class, or mint?
I was the opposite of mint. I was in sour, whatever the fuck that would be. I was like hanging on the wing. I slept for like an hour, and then I do, like, every week I force myself to make a playlist because it makes me sharp. So I'm like a psychopath going, this song doesn't work here, this song will work. And then I decided to watch Good Will Hunting, and I'm probably 130 pounds now because I just teared water weight. Just like,
now, was anyone sitting next to you?
There was a gap.
Matt Damon sitting next to
you. Yeah, right.
Minnie Driver was there. She appreciated that. I love the scope of her acting still. There was a dude who seemed very nice, but then I found out that he lives in Staten Island. I'm like, oh, if he would have saw me crying, he would have called me a bitch.
Wait, there was the middle seat was not taken.
Thank whatever's up there. If there
now,
is something. Yeah.
Do you lean, when you get on a plane?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, as someone who's been doing this since before both of you were born, how old are you?
53.
Okay, before James
I had
was
to
born.
Check. That's the age I'm at. Wow. I have to think
about 53? You look good.
Good, Bubba.
Thank you.
I'm 59. Okay. Anyway.
You look great.
You look great.
Thanks. I'm sorry. Did I mention I was 59?
You're doing great.
Anyway, as comedians who travel, I am so fucking anal about, okay, so I will book, I don't know if you do any of this. I book the flight. I then go on seatguru.com. Do you know this?
No.
I don't.
You put in, I've been doing this for 20 something years. Or however long Seat Guru has been around. I can't believe I'm giving up this.
Wow.
This
hack.
You go into Seat Guru, you put the name of the airline, the date, and the flight number, and it gives you a map of the plane, and it tells you details about every fucking seat. There's seats with a green. They're green. Those are the seats you want to sit in. There's yellow, which means beware, and there's red, which means don't fucking sit here. And I do that. I pick the flight. I go on SeatGuru. I can't believe I'm giving up my secret. I go on SeatGuru.com. I put in the flight number, and that's how I pick my seat. And it'll say something like, you know, too many people are going to walk by you. The there's half of a window, not a full window. You're right by the where they prepare the food. You're blah blah blah.
Oh my
this,
god!
You know, this is 2 inches this way. This doesn't go. It has every.
So that's what makes it red. Stuff.
Yeah. The red is like by the bathroom or it's going to be loud. They make coffee back there. I mean, it's
like a scouting report.
It's. Yes. It is, and I've been using that. I can't believe I'm...
This is amazing. C21C is a low ball hitter. You want to throw a lot of breaking change-ups. Yeah.
I can't believe you didn't. So SeedGuru.com.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that great?
How do they make money, SeedGuru.com?
I don't know. I think they do like stadiums and theaters, so you know if there's like a shitty pole in front of you. Well,
I could have used that years ago when I got stuck behind a pole at Barclays for a hockey game because Barclays was not good.
Was it a ice hockey game?
Yeah, they weren't built for it.
No, it was a fucking field hockey game. Well, Judy, what is wrong with you?
I'll go to a field hockey game.
Wait,
Judy.
There's
got to be a hot game around here.
Henry, my son Henry, he loves hockey. Yeah.
Hockey.
He loves hockey. And which is interesting because none of us like ice hockey, but his donor, I looked up all this information about donor, loved ice hockey.
Really?
Isn't that?
Mm.
Yes.
Wow.
And Henry's always taken ice hockey, and he's a really good skater. Anyway. So we went to a hockey game at wherever in New York.
The Garden?
Yes. You can't even fucking see the puck. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? They're all like cheering. I'm like, where's the fucking puck? You can't fucking see the puck.
Hockey's better live than on TV. I find it tougher to watch on TV. It's one of the things, we got hooked up with good seats years ago, second row, and one of the guys with us was a non-believer.
Even without Seat Guru?
Even without Seat
Shut
Guru.
Shut up, Chris.
Just magic happened. And so one of my boys was talking shit about it. It's like, this is exciting. Can't see nothing. This is exciting. And he's just pontificating all this horse shit, and all of a sudden a puck hits the glass inches from him, and he's like, oh, and I go, Was that boring? Do you want to sleep now, dum-dum? Do you want to take a goddamn nap now? It was like the second year of Vegas having a team, and it was a Vegas game, so I'm like pumped up and shit, and it's like, dude, this is boring, blah, blah, blah. He's all yip-yapping, trying to change the world. It's like, bam.
Yeah, he got a karma puck.
Okay, here's another question I have about hockey. And I've discussed this the people we were talking about were the older guy with the hot woman.
Mm-hmm.
They just got changed and he has a fucking suitcase. So they just snuck into this hotel. Look at him.
Oh, this guy?
Yeah. He's got, look at this. They have luggage.
When walking up here, I loved seeing a dude in a fedora in the water as a hat guy. Bravo. Yeah. Bravo to him, his
Love
head
it.
And his balls.
Love
God
it.
Bless him.
Okay.
This guy's got like pants.
What?
These
on.
People are just
this
hired.
The best.
They're just hired by the hotel to go down.
I just
not
don't
even
understand
guessed.
Like, who can sit at a pool for 3 hours? Like, I wish...
I might do this after. At my hotel.
Yeah.
Where's your hotel?
I'm down. I screwed up totally. I should have used SeatGeek, Hotel Geek, or use your brains to where the venue and the action is for the festival, Geek. And I'm downtown at the Ace, and
Wait, you're in downtown L.A.?
Yeah, which, walking around downtown L.A., wonderful. Kind of fun. It's got a little edge to it. Oh, I
a
took
little
public,
edge?
I took public transportation here. Oh, my God.
What'd you take?
I took the B-line... And guys,
it drops off right
wait,
here.
Wait, you took the subway?
Guys, I will never bitch about the A train in New York City ever again. I've lived in New York 16 years. You ready? I've never seen this in the train. I was somewhat delayed getting here because a homeless guy got busted by the police because he was chasing the dragon. Just casually pulls out styrofoam or what is it with not styrofoam but the. Tin foil and starts chasing the dragon like he's Harvey Keitel and Bad Lieutenant. Just starts smoking heroin in the middle of a train. I've never seen that in a decade and a half.
I thought the train was supposed to be nice here in L.A.
I filmed a little bit of it. It is. Yeah. I said it to Chris and Emilio. I'm like, guys, this is unbelievable. This makes the G train look like the fucking Soho.
That's
house.
Crazy.
I mean, it's L.A. Insane. So we ask anybody in L.A., have you used the subway? And they'll always answer, oh, yeah, I used it once.
That's what the girl at the desk told me.
Yeah.
It's like,
and
one
it was
time,
supposed
I
to
think.
Be,
yeah.
It was supposed to be like the thing that was going to save L.A.
Yep. Go all the way to the airport and bag. It was supposed to like
right.
be this
it was
big
supposed
thing.
To be this whole thing.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed, when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
James.
Judy.
Now, Chris has a boring life. He grew up with a younger brother, his Italian parents, yeah. in Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
Blah.
Bam Margera.
That's right.
Bam Margera.
Yeah, yeah.
Went to Temple University.
Then know who went there.
To L.A. Yeah. You grew up in Vegas.
Yes.
You were raised by your aunt and uncle. Is that correct?
Grandparents.
Well, yeah, okay, same thing. This is stuff I got from Henry, so whatever.
Oh, this is good.
Let's yeah, I'm going to tell you, this is what a woman my son Henry is.
Your research department, by the way,
no.
is fascinating.
Shut up.
It's Henry.
No, I usually do the research, and I asked Henry, I will call people and say, who know the, you know, and I'll say, tell me something, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I usually do it myself. But this is what Henry said, okay? Both parents absent.
Never met real dad. Mom is dead. Didn't have custody of me. Yeah. But she's been gone a minute. And she got, so I was wondering when I could tell you.
And by the way, he has a smile on his face.
Well, no, this is why I'm smiling, because last night I did Bobby's podcast and somehow this got on and I had to leave to go host the 9:30. And then he was like, you got to come back, dude. People ask you questions. This is why. Yeah. There's some wild shit.
So why did your mother not have custody?
Well, everybody, it's time to, you remember what I was just talking about in the train? She did the other version of that. She had a heroin problem. Wasn't the best thing in the world. So my grandparents took custody of me after like 28 days.
So you were 28 days old?
28. I was named Norris Brent Fleming the second.
No way.
I don't know this guy.
Can I call you Norris?
I should have. It would have been a great
Norris Fleming.
Norris or Norris Brent.
Norris Brent.
Norris Brent. God.
What the fuck kind of name is that?
So,
let's see. That's a sophisticated
name.
That
would be good in your fucking soap opera.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Norris Brent Fleming.
So this gentleman.
Captain of industry.
Yeah. Well, this gentleman was a Creole fella from Louisiana, a black fella. I found this out at 21. That he's not my biological father, but he was going out with my mom at that point. And
so your mother was pregnant with someone else's baby, but at the time of your birth, she was with Creole.
Also, she did some business that wasn't legal in most parts of Nevada at that point. Yeah, she was a prostitute, so it's God only knows. Yeah.
And did you...
Netflix is a joke festival, everybody. Let's get a laugh in, motherfucker.
Now, so do you remember her? What do you remember about her?
Well, she'd been dead about 10 years.
Yeah.
She was kind of nuts. She had a few years where she put it together.
And then, how old were you for the put together years?
Let's see. College, she was pretty much together. And then right when I was leaving was pretty all right. And then a few months in, the wheels on the bus came.
They were not going round and round.
They did not. They were flying all over the goddamn freeway.
Right.
Yeah, it was no bueno.
So how old were you when you realized your grandparents were not your parents?
I knew that early. My mom would come in and out, and she had a dude with her, this guy Mike Weiss. I called him daddy. And
wait, Jewish?
Apparently. I didn't get any questions.
Wait, where's my bell?
Bell.
Goddamn ding, ding. Fucking bell. Where are you? Go ahead.
And then one day, my aunts are watching me during the day.
Yeah.
And I bring up my dad, and my aunt Michelle and my aunt Sherry pause like that, right on a dime. And they looked at each other and then turned to me and goes, honey, that's not your real father. We don't know who your real father is. And then they walked out the room and left me with USA's Cartoon Express. Think about like just dropping that bomb. It's like, yeah, now enjoy Grape Ape.
Dinner's at 6.
Yeah, dinner's at 6.
So
Long John Silver's your least favorite. It's going to be a real shitty day.
So you stayed with your grandparents.
Oh, yeah.
And you went to school and you're an only child with your grandparents.
That I know, yeah.
Okay, so then did your grandparents have other children besides your mother?
Oh, a slew of them. And so there's a
slew of them?
A bunch of them. My oldest uncle, him and his wife, are like my parents now. So like Hendry was like Akron.
Hendry?
I always call him Hendry. Goodfellas, man. Come on, Chris gets that. Come on, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Hendry!
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they're like my parents now. So I never lived with him, but I basically lived with all my aunts and uncles at a certain point. They were in and out. So it's kind of like a hybrid.
Did you feel loved?
I did feel loved, but there was a
Do you feel loved now?
Oh, here, absolutely.
But
Judy,
the
crew.
You're going to school and you're seeing all these people with quote unquote intact families.
Yeah.
Were you like, fuck, it's Mother's Day, fuck, it's fuck. Like, this is shit I had to deal with my kids because I'm a les.
Yeah, you know.
So
it's weird.
Yeah. And then also after 9/11, all these kids had no one parent dead.
Oh, yeah.
And so I hated those fucking things. But did you feel like, oh, fuck?
Not at all until now. I hate all holidays that aren't Halloween or the day after, which we don't even celebrate gringos. Goddamn Day of the Dead. Which are, these are days are that those are days that are basically about death and nonsense. Mm-hmm. So it's good. I now because
technically
I,
All Souls Day.
All Souls Day.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a beautiful mm-hmm. day. So now, let's see. I have basically, because I got close to my stepdad. He just died a couple years ago. So I have like two dead dads. I have two dead moms, basically. And then so I hate those days. I hate, mm-hmm. I can't stand them. Most holidays
right.
I hate because it reminds me who's not there.
And it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay. So were you good in school?
Around fifth grade, I got my shit together. Till before then, I was just hair all over the place, conferences every 2 weeks, getting in
fights.
Did
you chew on your shirt like my kids did?
Oh, my God.
Boys chew on their shirts.
Yes.
I chewed on toys.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All these Star Wars.
It's very common for boys to chew on. I would pick them up at school. Their shirt was soaking fucking wet.
Yeah,
did you do that?
It's always in a pattern. Well, my son.
Yeah.
It's always in a pattern. And I'm like, oh. The first couple times, you're not really sure what's going on. Like, what did you spill? Or what have you
been
drinking?
Right, right, right.
Then you catch him like the corner of your eye, right, like
and
half
like,
the shirt's in his
fuck?
Mouth.
And it's all, and it's all like.
Is it nerves?
I don't know.
It's a boy thing.
It is. It's
definitely
a boy thing. Yeah. Never had that problem with our daughter.
Okay. Now, both parents absent. Ask him about when he made comedy his full-time job and leaving the restaurant he worked at. But before we do that, I want to know, you're in this, were your grandparents, like, did they have regular jobs? Were they not drug addicts? Were they like?
So grandpa owned a restaurant. And when he did that full-time is when we went from middle class to poor. He was a legendary food and beverage guy in Vegas. He had a lot of falling outs with people like Steve Wynn. So when I went and opened up for Chris at the Wynn, it really felt like I'm Idio Montoya. I'm here to avenge my grandfather. Yeah, like that. But my pops was hard-headed. He would have been in the mafia probably, if he was full-blooded Italian, but he had the German blood, and so he ended
up... Was he part German, part Italian?
Yeah, he was a happy...
Now, Chris Mancini is all Italian.
God bless.
Yeah.
What part of the boot?
Northern Italy.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, around there, I think. And we have, like, some... like, every once in a while, I would get, like, an aunt or somebody talking, like, where did we really come from? And it spilled out every once in a while that there was someone who had to leave Italy in a hurry.
Is the Jews. First of all, the Jews' entire fucking existence is like, get the fuck out of here. We hate you. Bye now. And then we have to go. And then we get there. Yeah. We stay there. We're like, oh, this is fun. And they're like, get the fuck out of here. So don't even start with me. Wait, let me ring my bell. Go ahead.
Hit it.
And it was about like oh, maybe we're descended from royalty, but then it was like, yeah, but it was more like a nanny that had to leave.
Okay.
That's even better.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. Tell me about your family. We had to leave. Who left? Yeah.
So
she was a nanny.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did your grandparents end up in Vegas? They're not from Vegas, right?
My grandma left after the war.
Where was she from?
In Germany. And so she,
I gotta go because I'm Jewish, and this is so she was in. She left after the war, so I have some questions.
Well,
there.
The fighting. Like the first day that the country got bombed, she was like 9, 8. She was going to her grandma's, and she wanted to go to the movies, and she ended up was really pissed, and she went to her grandma's, and the movie theater got bombed, and her teen years.
Did she have an accent?
A little bit, yeah.
Jams?
No.
Gets in here. No wonder your fucking mother was a prostitute and crack addict.
No, you would hear it when she get mad. All my boys to this day, when they impersonate, is like, God damn it, bullshit. Like, she had that thick
accent.
Were
you scared of her?
No, but she'd give a look. My grandpa gave a look. You better.
Is he Italian?
Italian German. You better get the fuck out.
He's Italian German.
My grandpa,
too?
Well, the grandpa. So the grandpa, Italian German, the grandma, German. And then
But
the dad, the speculation before everyone was dead with any information was either a Jewish fella, they speculate, or a Mexican fella.
But you could get your DNA done and find out.
I didn't want to do it. I had an ex-girlfriend get it for me, and I didn't want to spit in the cup. This is going to sound bad now with the pandemic, because I didn't want the government to have my DNA, even though I happily will get 8 more vaccines right now.
Right.
I don't give a shit. But like, I was like, I'm not going to spit in the cup, blah, blah, blah. And then,
okay. I am going to say, let me get my bell out. As a Jew, I feel that you have some Jew blood in you.
Has to.
Right?
And if there wasn't, like, if the Reich came back, they're not going to believe that my dad was from Monterey. Oh, no, he's from Mexico City. Yeah, they're not going to believe that shit.
Okay. So,
I love your transition.
So, your grandfather... Why did they move to Vegas? Where'd they move to Vegas from?
Rochester.
New York?
Yeah, America's Playground. Yeah.
Right.
And then they went to Reno.
A lot of Italians in Rochester.
Absolutely full.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And the Italians apparently came to Canada, which was like
and then
Toronto.
They said, yeah, we're going to go down to Rochester. Okay.
Yes.
And then they moved. Why did they move to Vegas?
Well, they went to Reno first.
Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, all these winners. And then the casino business. Because once again, Pops never told me. But he was like shooting dice in the street, he told me. He told me that part. But when you're not full-blooded Italian, you can't join the mafia. But you can run their casino.
Chris knows that. He nodded his head.
Yeah, that's,
They changed the rule now.
It's a little different now, but back then it was very traditional.
Yeah, they wanted to trace your roots because they felt that.
But there were Jewish guys in the mob.
But they could
but
never
they were
be
the
members.
Accountants. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, but there were some guys who would have run, like that guy in The Sopranos is based on a real dude.
Consigliere.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. They can't officially be that, but yes. In a sense.
Okay.
It's I love that I'm breaking down the mafia in the middle of this.
It's at the W Hotel.
It's like Rudy. You know, Rudy couldn't really be on the team, but he was still a part of the team.
He could get that one sack.
Yeah.
Okay, so they moved to Vegas, and with your mother?
Was born in Reno, but yeah. Oh, no, she was born in Rochester, and then, yeah, she's
then
the only
then they
one
moved
there.
To Reno. So she grew up in Vegas.
Oh,
in this before it was, like, suburbanized.
In the same house
now
I grew
there's,
up in.
Really?
And there was like lizards. When I was a kid, there was lizards and shit. And then like,
okay, so you grow up and were you in her room?
I ended up getting her room. I'm the only person in there that had every room but the main room. Like I bounced around everywhere. Like as I was growing up. Yeah.
But
I had her room at one point, and then she moved in at one point when I left and took my room. So that's the weird. If you want to know how fucked up I am,
how old was your mother when she had you?
20.
Wow.
It's young.
That's young.
Yeah. She's a baby.
And so, okay. So fifth grade, you have this change of heart and you're like, I'm going to do well in school.
Yeah, I don't know what clicked. Maybe the cool teacher, but I
it's the Jew in you. It was the Jew in you.
Dig
okay.
It.
Being the bell.
Okay. And then you go to high school.
Yeah.
What are you into in high school? Are you into Dungeons and Dragons?
Never.
Like Chris Mancini. Oh, yeah.
This kid was going to pick me up in 10th grade. He was a cool senior and he never showed up. And I never got into goddamn Dungeons and Dragons. Probably a blessing. I was into sports heavy early.
Like what sports?
Basketball was my passion. I got cut from the team 9th to 10th grade.
Fuck that.
But I got into, I wasn't good. I couldn't dribble. And then I ended up doing theater. And so that worked out for me. And then I got into like music and that. And I grew my hair out when I had hair. And was trying to be cool. And was forming bands and shit. And then I got back kind of into sports. But yeah, I was into like, was like, oh, look at that rock dude who acts. And
Were you smoking pot?
Never. Because of all, so my aunts and uncles would babysit me. And I'm like, pot's not a big deal, but I remember them babysitting me and getting high, hanging on the couch. And I'm like, hey, do you want to do this? They're like, no, we want to rest. They'd rest for like the 7 of the 8 hours.
Right.
I'm stuck reading the same fucking Power Pack comic book. I don't even like fucking Power Pack because they change their powers every 3 weeks. And I feel bad because I know weed ain't nothing, but like when my old roommates would smoke, they thought I was judging. I'm like, no, I'm not judging you. It's cool, but I smell it. You smell it. You think of like fun. I smell neglect. That just reminds me of neglect. So it's like, so I never did it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I didn't do it either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God bless.
But I'm stoned right now. I'm not.
Yeah.
I did it. I loved it.
Down there, I'll tell you. But
I know. Well,
surrounded by it, though.
Well, you know, it's now legal. You walk down the street in New York, all you do is smell marijuana. Thank you so much for listening to part one of the very special Netflix is a Joke episode of Kill Me Now with comedians Chris Mancini and James Mattern. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the help of Brittany Jo Sowards, my beloved assistant. Also, I'd like to thank all the people who recorded this from SiriusXM. I forgot their names, but I love you. They were really nice. Also, if you enjoy my show and you haven't subscribed and left a review, like, what is the point? I need you. I need you. So please do that, 5 stars only. I think my Uber rating is going up because I am so nice to the Uber drivers. I'm going to check it and I'll have an update for you next week on what my Uber, my Lyft rating is great. I don't know why the Lyft drivers like me. I'm going to go, as my mother would say, anti-Semitic in the Uber. Also, I just wanted to tell you, please go to judygold.com because I have a lot of dates coming up. I am going to Israel to watch my son play basketball. If I had the bell right next to me right now, I would be ringing it. Ding, 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 ding. I might have to go get it. No, I don't feel like it. If you haven't purchased my book, yes, I can say that. When they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. What is wrong with you? It is such a great book. And it's summer, and you sit at the beach, and you read. And you can laugh at read. You know what I'm saying? Also, please buy James Mattern's album. It's coming out this week. Check out Chris Mancini, author. Check out my guests, because they're really interesting and they're fun. Oh, Twitter, Instagram. I'm doing more TikToks. Everyone calm down. I'm going to do more shooting the shits. I just haven't had time. And it's at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD. Also, enjoying immensely the January 6th hearings. Because the truth will set you free. Hopefully. Please, God. What else do I have to tell you? I'm all better from COVID. Please be careful. It's not fun. I don't know what else to tell you. Wear sunscreen. That's my tip for the week. Wear sunscreen. And, you know, be kind. And rewind. Who knows? Who remembers that? Be kind, rewind. Uh-huh. Only the old people. Also, thank you, whoever's listening to the end. Thank you. I love you more than anything. Please come see me perform. I like an audience. And I love you. I love you all for listening. And see, I do have a lot of phlegm. And it could be because of my dairy intake or it could be leftover COVID. I am blaming it on COVID because I love cheese. So, sorry. And I know that's probably what it's from. And I enjoy my Raisin Bran in the morning. But
you know, I can't live without things that I love. Also, I did do a sleep clinic sleepover thing. And yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to let you know at the end of the next episode what the results were, if I have them. If not, you'll have to wait a week. But anyway, I love you all. Thank you for listening. And as we always say, so long.